It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Rachel Oger-Lindley. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick wants to give many teachers a bonus, and he wants to use state lottery revenue to pay for it. That would require amending the state constitution, and Patrick said today he's going to push for that during the Texas legislature's special session that starts on Tuesday.
But we have an opportunity in a special session to make a real difference for our teachers and our retired teachers, but most importantly, our kids in schools.
Governor Greg Abbott has said he wants to increase teacher pay by $1,000 annually. There are other education-related items on the governor's special session agenda, including school choice for special needs students. Patrick, who leads the Texas Senate, pushed for private school choice during the regular session, but the Texas House rejected it. Kit Lively is KERA's education director, and she joined Eric Austin to talk about the latest on school choice in Texas.
Let's start by defining school choice. What does it mean?
School choice is really any kind of policy that lets kids choose a school outside their home attendance zone, like magnets and even home schools. But the two that really get the most attention are charter schools and voucher programs, and that's because they kick up the most controversy, and they're often confused with each other, but they really don't have much in common.
What's the difference?
Charter schools are public schools. That means they get regulated by the state. They get a break on some of those state regulations, but they must comply with the big ones like accountability requirements, which includes the STAR testing. They cannot charge tuition, and they cannot have selective admissions. Vouchers, on the other hand, are for private schools. They provide state money to help families pay the tuition.
The term voucher-like program was used a lot this spring during the regular session of the Texas legislature. What does that mean?
States have had what they call tuition vouchers, and they went to parents to use for the private school of their choice, and that can include religious schools. These have been around since the early 90s, and they're now used in about a dozen states. But vouchers encountered some pushback. During the legislative session this spring, there was a bill that had two variations on vouchers, and they're variations that have become popular in recent years.
So let's go through both of those variations.
Well, one would use state money to create what they call education savings accounts that families could tap into for tuition at accredited private schools. But, and this is unlike vouchers, they could also use the money for other costs, like online courses or tutoring or textbooks or transportation. The Senate version of the bill also included a different and somewhat complicated mechanism.
Okay, let's explain the complications here.
Well, it would create a scholarship program that would be funded by donations from certain businesses. And the state would then give the businesses tax credits. The state would still essentially be subsidizing private school tuition.
So what's the justification for using state money for private schools?
Well, kids may live in neighborhoods where the public school isn't that good. And advocates for school choice say they want to give all kids more options to attend better schools, and that includes private schools. But that ideal has several assumptions. It assumes a family chooses a private school that is better than the assigned public school, and that's not always the case. It also assumes that state subsidy is big enough to make tuition affordable for families. And it assumes the student meets the private school's entrance requirements and that the school has programs a student needs or wants. And one thing important here is that private schools would not have to participate in the program, and many probably wouldn't.
Remind us why school choice is such a hot-button issue.
One big knock on all choice programs is that they redirect motivated students and money away from neighborhood schools. Private school choice also comes under fire because the state doesn't regulate private schools. One issue that pops up for kids in special education, private schools don't have to offer special education programs, although some do.
Now, school choice has a lot of supporters. Why do they think it improves the education landscape?
Many people like that it brings a marketplace to public education. They say that leads to healthy innovation and competition, and that should nudge public schools to improve. But while competition does seem to be leading schools to try new programs, the jury's really still out on whether that's boosting quality.
What should families consider when they're choosing a school, whether that's public, private, or something else?
Well, the most important thing is to know that the best school for your kid depends on your kid. There's been a lot of research on charters and magnets and vouchers all compared to traditional public schools. And while there are some bright spots, particularly for charter schools, there really aren't any big generalizations that hold true for any type of school in all places. The most important thing is to visit the school and see for yourself.
Kit Lively is KERA's education director. Kit, thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Anne Hollander had no experience at all in publishing. She studied biochemistry and international law. Then, about a year ago, she took over a tiny bookshop in Deep Ellum. In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks finds that store, called Deep Vellum Books, has become a literary hub in North Texas.
It's the second Tuesday of the month, and that means it's open mic poetry night at the Deep Vellum Bookstore on Commerce Street. Christina Rodriguez is Deep Vellum's general manager.
If you don't like poetry, watching it is just a totally different experience. They're one of my favorites now, actually. Any poetry event that we do in the store is typically my favorite.
Poetry readings, book clubs, writing workshops, panel discussions. Deep Vellum's new co-owner, Ann Hollander, has turned her little bookstore into a real, live, literary crossroads. It was Will Evans who opened the shop in 2015. A year and a half earlier, he'd started Deep Vellum Publishing. He got international attention for putting out translations of high-quality foreign literature. But his ambitious plans caught up with him. Only 6 months after opening the shop, Evans announced he'd have to shut it down. He and his wife had a baby coming. Someone else would have to mind the store. That someone else turned out to be Ann Hollander.
When the opportunity presented itself, I mean, it was way out there in fantasy land.
The 36-year-old doesn't remotely have a literary background. Her degrees are in biochemistry and national security law. She was running her own consulting firm in technology and marketing. But she and Evans found they had similar ideas for the store. Ideas about selling only small and independent publishers. The book industry still has its retail traditions, its dusty ways of doing things that Hollander knew she'd have to learn. What she didn't know was how welcoming the North Texas literary scene would be.
Where I had so much experience walking into boardrooms and talking to executives and getting a lot of pushback, the literary community was such a breath of fresh air.
Hollander brought new ideas about serving that community and her neighborhood. She's mentoring literary classes at a charter school in Deep Ellum. Her store is compiling data to track inventory, data like an author's native country and gender. Hollander has determined her shelves will offer as many female writers as male. More than 60% of her books already come from outside the U.S., while three shelves are devoted just to North Texas authors. Independent bookstores have been enjoying a small resurgence lately, even in Dallas. Last month, Interabang Books opened at Preston Road and Royal Lane, and Deep Vellum is hardly the first local bookstore to combine a targeted inventory with a calendar of public events and beer. The Wild Detectives pioneered that approach in Oak Cliff in 2014.
Wild Detectives, when they opened, it changed everything. People who are just readers and lovers of literature, they had a place to hang out.
Joe Malazzo is a poet and novelist. He runs a poetry series at Deep Vellum.
But there is a huge community of people who are doing interesting things with words right now in Dallas. They're not necessarily poets. They may be visual artists. There's a tremendous interest in performance poetry. So this space in Deep Vellum is really important.
In order to distinguish the Deep Vellum store from the separate Deep Vellum publishing company, Hollander says by the end of the year, her store will be rebranded. She also has plans to launch a website called Literary Dallas. It'll be an events calendar for just about anything book-related around town. Hollander is clearly bullish on the renewed interest in print literature and on the future of Deep Vellum. She took out a 15-year lease on her shop. She's also planning another Deep Vellum bookstore, this one in Denton, plus smaller, kid-sized versions around the area. You can hear Hollander's conviction about all this. She speaks with the fervor of a convert.
There is no greater good in this world than to provide opportunities like this. I want to see an independent bookstore in every community, because I think that an independent bookstore in every single community means that people are coming together and talking to each other.
It also means they're probably buying books. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Visit artandseek.org/spotlight to check out more than 50 profiles of North Texans featured in the Artist Spotlight, from music producers to painters to a food stylist. Tonight, clear skies with lows in the low 80s, and tomorrow it should be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-90s. At 6:30, I'm Rachel Osier-Lindley. This is KERA News.